Gag, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Millwall captain, Mitchell van der Gag.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's deep kick. The super sub has done it again, and Millwall are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster, delighted to welcome back Ian Buchanan. How's things, mate?
Grand, mate. Good to be back.
Good stuff. How are you guys?
Aye, no bad.
Fantastic, as always.
Good stuff. Well, a very disappointing result at the weekend. 4-1 defeat to Aberdeen. Jay, after a run of good performances and good results, it was back down to earth with a bit of a bang,
I think that about covers it. It was a disappointing performance, disappointing result. It was a bit of a strange game, I think, particularly in the first half. Obviously, we were shooting down towards where the, you know, that half that the away end is, and the ball was in front of us for long periods. We had a lot of the ball, just didn't do anything with it. There was no creativity, no spark. We kind of knocked the ball from side to side just in front of the Aberdeen box, but never really created anything to note. You know, whether a fully fit Pearson, for example, might have been able to make something happen, I'm not sure. But it was just a disappointing performance. Like you say, after the way we've played recently, I mean, we were in the bus up and there was an Aberdeen fan on the bus with us, and he was talking about how at 5-1 we were a really good bet because he didn't fancy Aberdeen and the run we were on. And, you know, you just didn't really get any sense of that when we were there. It was just quite a mundane, mediocre, quite a low-key performance. I'm not sure if the, you know, perhaps maybe the kind of downing of tools is starting to creep in because we know we can't get into Europe anymore or whatever, but it was just quite a disappointing performance. That said, you know, not too downhearted, just the fact that after the split we've had the chance to go up to Pittodrie because we're in the top six, you know, it's still something to be positive about. But overall, it was a poor performance and, you know, Aberdeen rightly deserved to win.
Chance of European places already gone, but the lure of fourth and the extra money that goes with it is very significant. A couple hundred grand between finishing in sixth place, for example, and finishing fourth. Hope that it wouldn't be the case that the guys down tools for these last couple of games will have the case where it's three games in a week to finish off the season. Hopefully it's not the case that the players already think they're on holiday.
Yeah, as you say, you know, there's prize money to be played for. You know, bragging rights, I suppose, as well. But you think the players would still be up for it. I'm sure they've still got win bonuses and things as well. But as Jay says, it did seem a bit sort of, you know, as if we had sort of took a step, you know, took our foot off the pedal a wee bit. But having said that as well, you know, I think Aberdeen have only lost once at Pittodrie all season. So although it was disappointing, it was going to be a hard place to go. But as you say, even myself, I don't find myself that bothered. You know, that we got hammered, basically, again. I think I'm starting to down tools as a fan, basically. So, again, I don't think the players will think like that anyway, but, you know, it did seem to look a wee bit like that.
Yeah, because there was a number of players returned to the team on Saturday. Mark McGeaney's post-match interview said that there's a lot of players in the squad just now that are almost dead in their feet. They've put that much into games since the turn of the year that fatigue's playing a bit of a part. I'm kind of disappointed that is the case, given that you've got guys returning to the squad, albeit on the back of a fairly serious injuries, and it will take them time to adjust. But I kind of got the impression we had enough depth within the squad to avoid a situation where guys are playing dead on their feet.
True. I mean, Aberdeen's probably the best team in the league. Celtic's got the best players, but by far not the best team. And I think Aberdeen maybe just felt had a wee chip on their shoulder after the way we beat them at Firth Park in the run-up to the top six, with an absolutely outstanding finish for Louis Malt, off the mistake for Reynolds. But I would think that players would be fit, but he's maybe brought them back a week too early. I think the youth under 20 cup final maybe kept Hall and Cadden out of the team, which is a lot of your energy. So you would think the players should have that in the tank to come out, to be ready to come back. And unless he's just made a mistake thinking that they were ready to play and they were maybe a week shy.
Jay, it will be an interesting one to see how the guys pick themselves up after a bit of a morale down to lose quite heavily like that. I know that there was a wee setback when we lost to Celtic at Firth Park, but it didn't feel like a very significant result, that to lose 4-1 against a team you maybe fancied your chances of getting something from. That's a fair bit different, I would say. The next three games are all tough fixtures: St Johnstone at home, then trips to Ross County and Celtic. So the team will need to pick themselves up for these last three games and avoid the scenario where they end the season a bit of a whimper.
Well, I don't think there's any need to get too carried away or get too negative. You know, in terms of the Celtic result not being particularly significant, I think if that, you know, applying the same logic, I don't think Saturday's result was particularly significant either. Going to Pittodrie is a very difficult place to go at the best of times. But as Bukes, you know, stated, I mean, they're a top team. They're not second, you know, because of some lucky draw or anything like that. They're there on merit. Had they found a bit of consistency over the season, then they may have even, you know, been in with a shout of the league title going into these last few games. So I don't think going to Pittodrie and getting beat is, you know, is anything to be disappointed about. I don't think it's a sign that we're going to capitulate the last few games. Yes, 4-1's a bit of a heavy defeat, but then, you know, it's football. Malt was through. If it's, you know, the ball's just a yard to the left, then suddenly it's 3-2 and it's a completely different game. So it's one of those ones where, yeah, it's disappointing with the performance. It's a disappointing result, but I certainly wouldn't see it as a sign that, you know, the last three games are going to be dire, or we're going to suddenly suffer a collapse in mentality or morale or anything like that. I'd be still as confident getting into the game on Saturday as perhaps I would have been before Pittodrie, because it was one of those games that you have to just accept was going to be incredibly difficult to get anything from.
I suppose it shows how far we've come, though, that we're actually getting disappointed at a defeat to a very good Aberdeen side. That would, you would have to hope, is a positive that we can just take it as a blip and just move on into these last three games.
I think you're right there. You know, as you says, in February, I think we would have been dying for a chance to get beat off Aberdeen, and, you know, towards the month of May. But it just shows, you know, how far we have come when we are upset that we went into the game with high hopes. And as you say, we've been disappointed, but it's you know, it's just as you say, it just goes to show how well the players and the manager have done to get us into this position. We've got, as you say, three hard games coming up, so it'll be good to again, it's good to be playing and not having to worry like we were last season this time last year.
Well, maybe we'll talk about the under-20s final last Wednesday night, which was an absolutely fantastic night, a 5-2 victory in the end for the young Motherwell side, and a number of excellent performances it was just, it was one that I didn't really expect to enjoy it quite as much as I did. It was a great night. Guys really, really deserved their victory, and hopefully it'll give some of these guys a taste of a success and the want to achieve more at the club. Jay, you don't expect it when you're going along to what essentially is a reserve game, but it was a magnificent night. It's one that we'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I think there was a bit of the unknown going into it, even if you're, you know, the kind of person who goes and watches under-20s a lot. I think a cup final at Hampden, you know, it's a massive pitch. You don't know how the, you know, the young guys are going to react to it. Are they going to be, you know, really nervous? Are they going to, you know, take advantage of the big pitch? There was a lot of unknowns going into the game. Weren't really sure quite how it was going to play out, how the game was going to, you know, go. And yet it was a really entertaining game, first and foremost. A lot of good performances on show, some really good football, some cracking goals. And I suppose if you were going to go along to Hampden for, you know, the Youth Cup final, then it was exactly what you wanted to see. Obviously a Motherwell victory on top of that. But a lot of encouragement that you can take from it in terms of going forward. I think, you know, it highlights another reason that we should be quite positive going forward in the next season or two. Whether, you know, a lot of the guys, yes, there were some good performances on the night. How far away they are from the first team, you know, is open to debate. You just have to look at Chrissy Cadden, just how, you know, a million miles he looked from his teammates on Wednesday night, which is incredible when you think about, you know, he's still relatively new to the first team, and yet just the way, you know, first and foremost, the way he looked, his physical appearance, in terms of his athleticism and his strength, the way he carried himself in the park, the way he played, the way he led his teammates. It's amazing to see just how much he's developed as a player since he went into the first team. And I think that it's easy to miss that when he's just one of 11 first team players on a park on a Saturday. But when you see him at Hampden in that Youth Cup final, it was so obvious just how much he's developed since he went into the first team. And he was so far ahead of a lot of his teammates. So, you know, that suggests that a lot of his teammates might not be ready for that step up. But it was certainly encouraging, a lot of good football, some cracking goals. I mean, the last two goals, the Robbie Leach goal and then Faulkner's goal for the fifth one in the dying seconds. I mean, they were absolutely brilliant. They would have been great to grace any cup final we finish, he's that good. So yeah, it was just a cracking night, really good atmosphere. You need to give, you know, 10 out of 10 to the Motherwell boys again. They turned up, they created a great atmosphere. Not sure what past Youth Cup finals have been like in terms of atmosphere, but it was cracking, it was bouncing in the Motherwell end, just under 3,000 there. So all in all, it was just a cracking night, and really, really good. And at £5 a head, you know, it's very rare that you can talk about Scottish football and value for money, but it was certainly that.
But another standout performance for me was Dom Thomas, who, after getting a shot earlier on in the season, has found himself pretty much out of the picture, but he claimed the Man of the Match award on Wednesday night. Very good, exciting performance. Dom's still got another year left in his contract. We've been kind of hoping that he would make that step up to the first team. It's not quite happened for him yet, but there's still certainly signs there that Dom can go further in the game. And I think it's always quite evident how much ability he does have, but that was a wee reminder of Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say when you were, you know, bringing me in there. I was going to say, we all know how much ability Dom's got. We all know that he's an exciting player. You know, but Jay touched on it a wee bit, the fact that Chrissy Cadden looked 10 times any of the players on that park. You know, again, his physical appearance as well. He's a big boy. Dom's maybe a wee bit slighter, and that's maybe not working in his favour. But as I say, we all know he looks a right good player. He's, as I say, when he gets the ball, the excitement's picked up in the crowd when he's got the ball and he's starting to run at people. I think he'll probably come through a bit more next season, maybe even the last three games here as well, if, you know, there's not much to play for and, you know, McGee's maybe wanting to test out some of the boys. I was really impressed as well by David Ferguson. I thought David Ferguson was absolutely fantastic. he just seemed to be the guy who wanted the ball. He was, you know, playing centre half. Anytime the ball was getting knocked about, he was looking for it. He was looking to make a pass. He kept it nice and simple. And obviously went up for the one of the corners and scored the goal as well. So, you know, as Chase says, it was a great night. It was relatively cheap at a fiver. And it was good, obviously, to see the Motherwell boys win.
Pukes, it's rare that we get to celebrate any sort of silverware, so I don't think it can be mocked, the fact that we all did enjoy the victory so much. And as I say, hopefully it's kind of a kick on that we need to go on and achieve more.
Oh, absolutely. It's take the victories when you get them. And celebrate it, because, well, I don't remember any kind of reserve successes for Motherwell growing up. I think they won some kind of milk, was it a milk cup or something they won in Belfast? I can't even remember. That's how long ago these kind of things have happened. So it's good for the team. It's good for these boys to experience it, playing in front of a crowd that, you know, giving them a bit of support, and it does bode well for the future. There's a few players in there, if they manage themselves right, get themselves fit, you know, and bulk up, you know, just turn basically for laddies into men, then it'll be good for the club. And there's no denying Craigan's influence he's had this season, for, you know, the start of the season when they were saying that there was nobody in that squad looked capable of moving up.
Yeah, I was going to mention Stephen Craigan there, who's obviously been a pivotal part of the success. And he certainly enjoyed the celebrations that followed the victory as well, didn't he, Jay? He was giving it the usual fist pumps and everything else. And that was nice to see after a few years since he was doing it in the Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden after he scored that day as well. A club legend, and you could really see a future for him as a coach at the club.
Well, that's it. I mean, he's obviously building on his experience both with Motherwell and Northern Ireland, so it's great. We've spoke before, you know, that international week when you had McGee, Robinson and Craigan all away. We were talking about how it's a bit of a, you know, a disadvantage for that week in terms of training and things like that in preparation for the next game. But it just shows that you've got, you know, a lot of strong coaches, and Craigan's certainly one of them. You know, you just hear some of the younger players or read some of the younger players when they talk about him in charge and the influence he's had. I don't think there's any question that he'll certainly, you know, bring passion, and I'm sure he's at a good manager of players, you know, that kind of motivation side of it. He's obviously got all the experience as a captain as well, so he's got all the ingredients. Whether, of course, he wants to have a, you know, a long term full time career as a coach when he's got all his media stuff on the sidelines as well, I'm not sure exactly what he favours more, but he's certainly got the potential to be a great coach. And you're right, it was great. It was great to see a young Motherwell side win the cup, but also to be, you know, managed by a club legend just kind of as the icing on the cake as well.
Yeah, I think the combination of Stephen Craigan and Keith Lasley is one that the Motherwell fans wouldn't take very much time to warm to as a managerial duo, that's for sure. Well, look at the St Johnstone game on Saturday now, and I've kind of already touched upon it's going to be a task to build ourselves back up and go over the disappointment of the defeat on Saturday, but a victory would send us back into fourth place, and with home advantage, you would hope that's exactly what will happen, Bukes.
I would think so. I mean, Lasley's going to be missing, and Hamill's going to be missing, so who knows what the team will be like, if he'll McGee it, or if he'll just bring players in. Let's hope it's not a Hearts situation where he decides that Josh Law is the best central midfielder in Scotland that plays right back. It's going to be tough. St Johnstone are no mugs. And we need to see what team he puts out.
is possibly going to be a day that we don't remember very much of it come 5 o'clock. But as Bukes has already mentioned, their Saints are a very, very good side. They've had another great season where they found themselves finishing in the top six, despite the fact that their budget, I would imagine, is in very much in a small scale in regards to the other teams in the league. So we should expect a very difficult game. I don't know whether Josh Law will be back, actually, for Saturday. I saw him up at Firth Park towards the end of last week. He was limping very heavily. Louis Lang, McGee's mentioned that he maybe rushed him back a bit too much and he conceded the penalty. He got subbed at half-time because he was already on a booking. So maybe he'll not manage the 90 minutes either. So a few selection headaches. That might not be a bad thing, though.
No, not at all. The Lang one's interesting. You know, just to go back to Saturday for a moment, I thought whether he's fully fit or not, I thought the penalty was quite naive, and I thought Johnny Hayes, you know, that first half, he knew Lang probably for a game to return to. I think being up against Johnny Hayes is probably one of the last players in the Premier League he would have been wanting to be up against. Really difficult day for him or first half for him. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes the game on Saturday, but. As I said earlier, I think there's no reason not to be confident. It's a home tie. There is no reason to believe that losing at Pittodrie on Saturday is suddenly going to, you know, knock the wheels off of the run we were on and things like that. We can certainly get back to where we were. And it's a big game. You know, you mentioned earlier about wanting to finish fourth, regardless about the European qualification thing, in terms of, you know, personal pride, in terms of bragging rights, but also in terms of finances. If you want to finish fourth, we need to beat St Johnstone this Saturday. I think I'm right in saying that they have Celtic and Hearts to play. So if we can win on Saturday, then St Johnstone have two very difficult games, and I'm not suggesting, you know, going up to Dingwall is anything but a difficult game, but I think if you had to choose between Celtic and Hearts or Ross County and Celtic, I think you would perhaps say we'd maybe get slightly the easier of the ties, particularly because St Johnstone have to go to Tynecastle. So if we can get the win on Saturday and go a point ahead of them in fourth, then there is every chance that if we can go to Dingwall and get a result, then we can, you know, really look to possibly cement fourth place next Wednesday. So there is a lot to play for. You know, we kind of hinted at the fact that there was a feeling of down in tools on Saturday. I think that's maybe a little bit harsh. I think we've got enough professional footballers in the team to know that that probably wasn't the case. So, you know, yeah, I'm with Bukes in terms of the team selection. We need to see what kind of team gets put out. But if we go with the same positivity and the same performance levels that we've done prior to Pittodrie, then, you know, we can take a big, big step to fourth place, because although it only put us 1 point ahead St Johnstone, I think with the two fixtures that we each have remaining, I think it would put us favourites to finish fourth, which when you consider where we were when McGee came in, finishing the top six is a great achievement, but to finish fourth would just be absolutely incredible.
But I think the advantage we've got is in our hands. We'll have to play both Ross County and St Johnstone, so we know that if we can get positive results in both of, then that'll be job done.
Yeah, you know, as Jamie Bukes quite rightly said, that it's a winnable game. We've got to go and try and get these points, obviously. But going back to the sort of team selection as well, as I said, although, you know, we want to win the game, we want to pick up points. In my opinion, this would be sort of ideal to maybe bring in somebody who, for example, if Hamill's missing. Some, you know, one of the 17 or 18 year olds that play at left back for the youth team. If we can get a decent performance at somebody who's coming through at left back, that would be ideal in my opinion, because you've seen the trouble we've had trying to not so much replace Hamill, but even, you know, provide him with some backup. We've had some dubious players in there, put it that way. Striker, Francis Angol, things like that. So, although, as I said, although it would be great if we did manage to pick up the points against St Johnstone and even Ross County, I think these are the sort of games where we should maybe be looking at, you know, giving some of the younger boys a chance.
Before we go on to this week's member well question, we'll take a couple of minutes to discuss season tickets going on sale for next season. A bit of debate amongst ourselves over the last couple of days about a few people that regulars, Joe McKelvey, who is a regular on the podcast, 19 years, he's had a season ticket and he's already said that he wouldn't be taking up the option of renewing due to the fact that there's not actually a great deal of difference between taking one and paying in at the gate every game, particularly when there's odd chance that you'll miss one or two games over the course of the season. It's not really nice to hear that though, Jay, that regulars are kind of getting priced out or taking up, are not taking up the option of renewing a season ticket. We already know we've got a very limited support as it is, and my fear is if I wasn't to take a season ticket that there's every possibility I would fall away a fair bit. But that being said, there's still decisions to be made over the summer, and whether you're actually going to splash out what is a lot of money at a time where summer holidays and various other things are coming on.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's always the same. You're always talking about quite a pricey time for a lot of people anyway, whether it is summer holidays or, you know, even, you know, kids going back to school uniforms and all that kind of thing. I've not had the time to kind of sit down and work out. I know Joe, as you mentioned, had suggested that if you miss something like two games next season, then it doesn't make financial sense to buy a season ticket, which is something I'll need to look into because, you know, like everybody, I'm lucky enough that I don't work on a Saturday, but like everybody else, you know, there are other things, you know, people get married and things like that. Obviously, 9 times out of 10, going to the Motherwell game is the priority. But occasionally that doesn't happen, and so you need to look at the financial costs. I don't have a great deal to say on it because I've not sat and worked it out. We're at a time when not only is the economy suffering, not only is, you know, Motherwell in the wider area, you know, not exactly the best well-off area in the United Kingdom, but you're also talking about a time when we're being asked to put our hands in our pockets for the Welsh society too. So it's something that we need to, you know, everybody will be different, everybody will need to look into season ticket prices. I've had a season ticket for as long as I can remember. I don't want that to change. I like being a season ticket holder. I like the fact that, yes, it's a big ask during the summer, but then it's taken care of. You then don't need to bother about it the entire season. But, you know, like everybody else, you know, it's not, I'm not exactly, you know, flush for cash. So I'll look into it and decide what to do from there. But it'll be interesting because it's the first time I think I've ever, you know, heard that kind of argument. Normally it's just a case of season ticket, you're going to buy it or not? Yeah, probably. Or, oh no, I won't make too many games because I'm working most Saturdays. So to have someone kind of, you know, put forward the argument, well, no, it's not actually value for money, that's one I haven't came across in quite some time, and I think it deserves some further investigation before I make a decision either way. But as I said, I would like to think it'll be a season ticket for the next year's issue.
Pukes, one of the big positives is the Relevate offer, where season ticket holders in the David Cooper stand and also the East stand will get 2 free kids season tickets, which hopefully will encourage fans of the future along to Fir Park and makes it a more affordable option for families, certainly.
Oh, definitely. It's interesting that you talk about kind of our finances through the summer when the club need the finances through the summer as well. You know, that's possibly the only, because I miss games. I was at in Stuttgart for the Celtic game, you know, and I've missed, I'm going to miss this Saturday as well. So I'm doing on this season, but it's always been the case that the club needs the money over the summer. Let's not kid ourselves, and as an ask. And it's one of these things that if you can, you kind of have to. Just put your hand in your pocket and you're gain the club the money. Not for the survival, but so that they're no dipping into their own finances, you know, keep the club ticking out of the summer. But the Relevate thing is fantastic. I mean, I've been taking my boys since probably he could stand up. and even before that, with the well of it, you know, first in the East Stand and now we're in the Cooper, because he's under, he's a Earth 13. And it's a great deal. It kind of, it makes missing the odd game a bit more bearable. But see, I don't look at it like am I going to miss games or am I not going to miss games. I think, well, I'll make a commitment to the club for the season and I'm going to go to every game I can. And if I can't, then the club still get my money kind of thing. You know, that's my kind of thoughts on it. Even though they've still got McGee as manager, but that's a whole other story. He's almost might be coming up for some kind of redemption, but I'm still not going to listen to his post-match interviews.
Mentioning managers brings us on nicely to the Manager of the Year award, which was announced last night, and a slightly baffling one, it must be said, that a manager running a team with a budget of about 10 times the amount that any of the rivals have got in their league, playing against the likes of Alloa and Dumbarton and Livingston, and not always coming out in the right end of results, managed to claim the Manager of the Year award, Jay. Rangers, of course, they should have won the championship last season. They didn't do that. They've then thrown a bit of money at it again this year and won by a fair margin. But does that deserve Manager of the Year across Scotland for that success?
No, of course it doesn't. Hibs, for argument's sake, had Hibs the second biggest budget in Scotland and had won the league. Do we think that Alan Stubbs would have been named Manager of the Year? Probably not. He doesn't have a Rangers crest on his trackie. That's the long and short of it. Mark Burton is Rangers manager, and that is purely the only reason he's Manager of the Year. There is absolutely no argument that
Mark Burton... Did you just call him Mark Burton?
Did I? Whatever his name is, I don't pay attention to Diddy clubs these days. But Mark Burton is not Manager of the Year by a long shot. Absolutely not. He is... you know, you've hit the nail on the head. He's got the second. If you can't win the league with the second tier, with the second biggest budget in Scotland, then you shouldn't be a manager. And you're certainly not Manager of the Year. Just, you know, Peter Houston and Jim McIntyre for me are far and away better candidates. In fact, had Mark McGee been at Motherwell perhaps a little bit longer, or had Mark McGee you know, had European football been on the agenda, had we even managed to, you know, push Hearts a bit closer to third, is there an argument there for him to have been nominated? For me, it's a nonsense. For me, it is just basically perfect example of that obsession with the Old Firm in Scotland. There is absolutely no way Mark Warburton is Manager of the Year, and everybody knows it, probably including Mark Warburton.
But this almost seems like just a tactic to appease one of the big two, so to speak. Albeit if he wins the Scottish Cup yet again, you'd think that's a tremendous feat for a team that are in the Championship. But when you've got the budget the size that of a club like Rangers, then winning the Scottish Cup doesn't come as a surprise either, does it?
Well, you just have to look at the last, you know, four or 5 years. They've done nothing but take players from, you know, teams in our league, basically. They're paying well over the odds for guys who essentially were going to play guys who probably had a shift in that morning. As Jay mentioned there as well, you know, there was kind of tongue-in-cheek talk about whether or not Mark McGee should get a nomination for the job he's done, because he's been fantastic. You know, I dismissed it thinking, nah, he's done really well, but there'll be other people in there who may be a bit more deserving of it. But if they're going to just dish it out to Mark Warburton, we might as well throw Mark McGee's name in there as well, because as Jay says, it's just a complete nonsense. And these things that I don't really pay attention to anyway, but when it comes up with something like this, that's when I completely lose interest in them all together. So unless a Motherwell player's in the running for one of these awards, or, you know, a Motherwell manager, I won't be paying attention to them in the future either.
Yeah, they've been downhill somewhat since the days of, like, Michael Higden getting the award, debut.
True. Okay, it's an absolute, it's a media blowjob for Rangers. You know, to beat, you know, all the kind of hype for them beating Celtic, a very poor Celtic on penalties. You know, you'd think it, they'd beat them 6-1 or something. So it's just, it's the media font. It's the beginning of things to come for when they come up, and it'll just be, you know, the red carpet and the, you know, rest your balls on my chin, Mark, because you're just the greatest manager ever, because you've brought Rangers back to the top tier, and all these journals can get their expenses and all the rest of it. And, you know, to be honest, does it matter? I mean, the manager of the year is the guy who goes and manages Alloa week in, week out, you know, and gets players like Chopra playing for them. Them. And, you know, it's all subjective, but I mean, to win the league the way he did with the team he had, it's a bit of nonsense, you know. Win the team with a wee team, you know, win the league with a wee team, or, you know, do something outstanding. You know, he's done nothing other than what was expected. You know, it's no surprise that Rangers won the championship with their budget. So, you know.
I was just going to say, no, I think you've just reminded me how good we've basically had it over the last 4 years, not having to put up with Rangers as much. We all know about their fans and when they come to visit and all that, and how Nadie enjoys it there, but not so much, they didn't so much take a, you know, a back seat in the media, but when they come up next year, it's going to be absolute murders. No, no, to be fair, not that I even pay attention to it, but when you're scrolling through your Twitter or your Facebook, it's going to be absolute murder again, and I'm not looking forward to that either.
I think there's an element of it that's quite disrespectful to Jim McIntyre in Ross County as well. Who, you think that the job that McIntyre's done from basically Christmas last year, where they were bottom of the league by some distance, it looked like they were on their way down. They picked them up, some finished at the end of last season, so they missed out, and even having to be involved in the playoffs. He's taken them to the top six this season. They've won the League Cup. For a team of Ross County's size, that's absolutely incredible stuff. So if it was given to someone that was more deserving, then I think you would actually start to acknowledge these awards as significant, but they just lose all sort of, any sense of credibility by making these stupid decisions. And it's just done to appease a team with a big support. They couldn't give it to Ronnie Dyla because he's basically getting punted. So it was going to have to be one of the two.
But Ronnie Dyla as well, I mean, if they'd gave it to Ronnie Dyla, that would have been a farce as well, because he's basically crawling over the line again with the biggest budget in Scotland. So I know you're not suggesting he should have got it, but it would have been even more farcical if he was even mentioned at all. I've never seen his name mentioned, so I don't even think he was nominated, but it would have been an absolute farce if he was anywhere near it as well. But as you say, maybe Jim McIntyre, I can't really think of anybody else who maybe deserves it, because it's been a pretty bland sort of year. Aberdeen didn't really, you know, push their title challenge too much. They've not performed in any of the cups. Robbie Nielsen maybe as well, you know, coming up with, although Hearts again have got probably a kind of large budget, but coming for the championship to, you know, finish third, comfortably third in the league, you know, maybe he was in with a shout as well. And, you know, I think maybe the guy at Falkirk, is it Peter Houston? Sorry,
Peter, I think Peter Houston should be, would have been a stick on for it, to be honest. You know, if it's one of these things, the season's no finished. You could still bring Falkirk up quite emphatically. Whoever they play in the playoff, I mean, they could turn over whoever between Wraith and Hibs. They could, you know, turn over whoever comes down for the Premiership, or the two legs, and go up in some kind of style. And, you know, they're giving it to a guy with some kind of magic hat. I don't know.
Well, see, that's a point, I know. That's a very good point as well. They make an arse of these things by announcing them 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks before the season's actually finished as well. As you say, if Peter Houston and Falkirk fly up there, that he'd be a great shout for it. But obviously, it's been announced 4 weeks before the end of the year, so it's, you know, they make an arse of these things by giving them away at this point as well.
Aye, it's nonsensical that. Just like you said, it's been a bland season, and you're right. What, kind of across the, you've got Rangers winning the Championship, Celtic winning the Premiership, obviously. Then Dunfermline have got by far the biggest budget in League One, and they've ran away with that league. So, kind of top three leagues, and they've all been very predictable in how they've ended up. So, aye, very good point, Buster. Well done.
I think the only bit of excitement about the whole it was maybe Hibs again making an arse of it, but everybody expected that. Although I'm not going to start using that terrible patter that everybody uses, but it was kind of expected that Hibs were going to make an arse of it.
Aye, they certainly faded away, and you kind of got around Christmas time. There was the hope that the Hibs would take Rangers all the way, and I think they led for a stage, didn't they? But it wasn't to be.
Well, it's also again, just worth. Sorry, I was just going to say there. I mean, Sparrow, you mentioned Dunfermline winning League One with by far the biggest budget, and yet nobody is kind of clamouring for Alan Johnson to be nominated for Manager of the Year, because everybody kind of accepts that Dunfermline, they were a stick on to win that league because they had such a big budget. So the fact it kind of just compounds how ridiculous it is that Mark Warburton got the award, because, you know, if you're going to use the same logic for Warburton winning the award, then surely Alan Johnson should have been up there.
It's also it can also even turn into a bigger farce if Hibs managed to beat them in the Scottish Cup final as well. You know, I mean, Hibs haven't won it in what, 110 years or something, but if the Rangers don't turn up, basically the last couple of weeks of the season, my mates have been telling that they're taking it easy. There's not really any games to play between now and the Scottish Cup final. Hibs will be active in their playoffs, so they'll have competitive football worth playing at. You know, Hibs could turn up there raring to go, whereas Rangers maybe find it a bit hard to get back into gear. They lose that. Warburton's been awarded the Manager of the Year already, and it just makes them look even more stupid, I think, the fact that these things are announced before the end of the season.
Well, that's it. As you know, Bukes hinted at as well, you know, you have the situation now where Rangers could have won the league, which they were always going to win anyway with the budget they've got, and could absolutely capitulate in the cup final. And at the same time, Peter Houston could lead Falkirk to the Premier League. And yet we've already given the Manager of the Year award to someone who anybody with a brain cell in Scotland knows isn't the Manager of the Year. It's a farce, but it's the way they do things. And it's Scottish football, you know, the folk who run Scottish football we know how inept they are, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, the same could be said for Alan Stubbs as well, I suppose. That if Stubbs was to win promotion via the playoffs,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Win the Scottish Cup for the first time since 1902, so that would certainly be grounds for winning Manager of the Year, despite the fact that they have slipped up and lost leagues and been generally dodgy for a few months of the season. But to get both of these successes would be reason to be certainly very much in the running and be in front of Mark Warburton, the reckoning for Manager of the Year.
Just in the interest of fairness, the guy who won League Two, Gary Naismith, could have been in with a shout as well, winning League Two with East Fife.
That was poor form from me, leaving Gary Naismith out, but I forgot who had won League Two, so that's why I didn't mention it.
I've just looked that up just to be failure, but I don't know if East Fife's got the biggest budget in League Two either.
I've got Nathan Austin. No, Nathan Austin's brilliant. They were always a stack on to win that.
They were. Good in what we saw in August when we played them, they could very much hold their own in the Premiership.
Aye, but that was when we couldn't hold our own in the Premiership.
Jay, I'll pass on to you for this week's Remember Well, which is slightly different from the usual this week.
Yeah, it was just, obviously it was meant to be for last week, but missing out through illness, and nobody wanted to take it up. So it was actually inspired from when we had Graham Barnstable on, and it was inspired by his commentary of Marvin Johnson's winner up in Inverness, which we played at the end. So if anybody listened, you'll have heard it. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen. So we were just looking for suggestions of the most memorable lines or phrases from commentators over the years. Preferably well-related as usual, but, you know, we were happy to take any suggestions. So what we've done is, rather than going through them all, and to avoid me having to try and do impersonations of Jock Brown and things like that, what I've done is I've just basically compiled the best suggestions in the outro, which we'll play shortly. So just to sort of name check those who have contributed to it, there's obviously all four of us have got suggestions in there. Jerry McDermott, Niall Kane, Ian Pritchard, Mark Weir, Craig Coutts and Roy Purcell have all contributed. So yeah, this week's, the answers to this week's Remember Well question will be coming up shortly.
Can I also just say that you mentioned no one wanted to take it on? I think I was not asked, but I think after my performance the last time, I didn't deserve to get called up anyway. But I think Sparta just took the, you know, the sort of majority shareholders decision and just binned it for that week because your illness.
Well, we did have a substantial amount of guests last week as well. I mean, Keith Lasley, Richard Hay, Ian Pritchard.
The best comment I just remembered, the Celtic game, we beat Celtic 1-0 in the cup. I don't know if you remember it. Tommy Coyne, backheader of Carol Muggleton. I've got a clip of that in Danish. And it's awesome. Just all the guy, ooh, Tommy Coyne. Brilliant. I'll need to find it.
What a brilliant Danish accent that was, too. Yeah. Well, I think that's about all we've got for this week. We should give another shout out, though, to Patterson's Trophy Supplies, who are sponsoring their Player of the Year at the weekend. So we're looking forward to meeting the guys from there and also getting to present Chrissy Cadden and Lou Moult with their awards. That should be a very good day. Bukes, thanks for guesting as always, mate.
A pleasure, mate. Thanks.
Jay Buster, thanks, guys.
Cheers.
No bother, thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Goal now for Motherwell, which steal second spot. It's Lasley, deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton, no foul given, Kerr, and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given, hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football.
McFadden drags it down now, long way out, what a goal by McFadden! From James McFadden, he's a genius again for Scotland. They've been suckered in the party plans. James McFadden from 40 yards into the roof of the net, picking out Landrew. France nil, Scotland won.
That's good. Now O'Neill, run made by Cusack, has a fine effort. Colin O'Neill has scored for Motherwell.
Tremendous goal, John. Look at that. The ball comes over here. Patterson and Clark go for it. Breaks kindly, but how brave is he here? Look. Oh, his head's going, feet, everything going there. He was brave as a lion.
The ball is cleared, and there's no sign of danger till Ripper fires a snorter. Henderson is unsighted, and the ball ricochets into the net to put Motherwell 2-up.
Totally convincing. Motherwell are through. Celebrations from O'Neill. While Hugo Sanchez eats your heart out.
Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
Wow, it's a moment these Motherwell supporters have waited 39 years to see. And listen to the acclaim for Tom Boyd. The Scottish Cup held aloft.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection!